Today's police raid in The Hague recalls a standoff in Madrid, Spain, 7 months ago. Suspects in the March train bombings there blew themselves up after police trapped them in a second-floor apartment. The Madrid bombings helped convince Europeans that they need to work together across borders to fight terrorism. But as NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports, uniting the efforts of dozens of police and intelligence agencies across the European Union is no small job.
8 days after the Madrid attacks, European ministers rushed to Brussels for an emergency meeting. Their mission was to find a better way to share intelligence. Two countries, Belgium and Austria, proposed a solution, a European intelligence agency. In other words, a European CIA. But the idea sank like a lump of lead.
With great respect, to say we need a European CIA would be an admission that we were out of our minds.
British intelligence analyst Anthony Gleese.
I think the one thing we do not need to replicate is the jungle that exists within the American intelligence community.
Gleese runs the Brunel Center for Intelligence and Security Studies just outside London, and his view is the prevailing one in Europe's big countries like Britain, Germany, and France. Gleese points to the swelling ranks of the European Union, 25 member states and growing, and he argues it's impossible to share intelligence among so many countries and expect it to remain secret. At the same time, there is a clear recognition in European capitals that the old way of conducting intelligence business on a one-to-one basis with London talking to Paris or Paris talking to Rome will not be enough to prevent another Madrid.
You're dealing with a transnational threat, and so the obvious point to make is that it can only be defeated through a transnational response.
That's Karen von Hippel, an American counterterrorism specialist at the Center for Defense Studies, King's College London. Von Hippel says the most visible change Europeans have made is appointing this man.
My name is Guy de Vries. I'm the European Union's counterterrorism coordinator.
De Vries' job was just created in March, a direct response to the Madrid attacks. Today, de Vries points to two specific places where Europe is changing the way it fights terrorism. The first is in The Hague. A few miles from the scene of today's standoff sits an elegant, ivy-covered former monastery. This is the headquarters of Europol, Europe's criminal intelligence agency. Europol has compiled the only European-wide database on Islamist terrorism. Jens Henrik Højbjerg is the agency's deputy director.
We're dealing with financing of terrorism, profiling, recruitment, and so on and so forth. So I'm optimistic.
The second hub for Europe's re-energized security efforts is Brussels. That's home to the Joint Situation Center. It's a new operation. Intelligence experts from across the European Union sit together, sifting through information and comparing notes. Like Europol, the Situation Center is staffed by analysts. It leaves spying and actual counterterror operations to member states. The head of the Joint Situation Center, William Shapcut, explains that that setup is deliberate, and European countries, he says, have no plans to launch a Europe-wide spy service.
If you need to conduct an operation in Lyon, then you need people who know Lyon. If you need to conduct an operation in Birmingham, you need people who know Birmingham. And for the moment, their judgment is that sourcing these things on a national basis is the most effective way of doing it.
But skeptics say Europe is still woefully underprepared to prevent another major terrorist attack. One reason, the new operations are tiny. Europol's counter-terror task force is more than tripling its size, but from only 8 to 28 analysts. The Joint Situation Center, when it gets up to full staffing next year, will number about 45 people. Then there's that hurdle of persuading 25 countries to share sensitive information. A former head of Europol, Jürgen Storbeck, has described rivalry among intelligence agencies as the single biggest obstacle to joint action. That's an argument counterterror chief Guy de Vries categorically rejects.
What Mr. Storbeck's concern is particularly about is that the police forces in Europe often prefer bilateral cooperation to multilateral cooperation. That, fortunately, is changing, as indeed his own agency is showing, because the caseload of Europol went up 40% last year.
In fact, it's hard to measure precisely how successful Europe's counterterrorism reforms have been so far. De Vries says cross-border cooperation has prevented several major attacks. He won't go into details about when or where. And over at the Joint Situation Center, William Shapcut says his team's work, advising Europe's leaders about patterns in terrorist activity, may take years to pay off.
It would be absolutely naive to think that what we're trying to do is going to prevent an attack that might be being planned now for Frankfurt or Milan in 6 months' time. Our work, if it's going to have an effect, will be in 3, 4, 5 years' time, because we've given the Commission a clue about some terrorist modus operandi. They've implemented some extra safety feature in travel documents, or they've made some proposals for improving aviation security.
Every counterterrorism official interviewed for this report said the silver lining, if you can call it that, of the Madrid attacks was they increased support for cooperation. But the officials also admit there's a lot of work still to be done. As one said, when you've got 25 bosses, everything takes a little longer. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News.